Well, Gideon is discovering the one true king and pointing the people to look to the Lord also. People are getting a little antsy about not having a king. They want, some human direction and so forth. But the Lord would be their king throughout their history. It's a good lesson for us through Gideon's life. God's word says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And Gideon almost did this in his life. He was a simple man. He didn't have a lot of confidence in himself. That could be a plus if you're in that boat. Times were difficult for him and his family. He had to secretly stomp out some grain so his family could have something to eat. He had to do it in a secret place, in a wine press, so the enemy, the Midianites, wouldn't come and take the food. So he was really in a humble boat. And the Lord appears to Gideon one day and says, you find this in chapter 6, 7, and 8 primarily. The Lord appears to Gideon and says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And I'm sure he probably thought, is there somebody else in the room here that the Lord is addressing? And Gideon starts to question the Lord and says, hey, we keep losing around here. All these enemies are coming in. They're ransacking everything we have. They're taking our food. I thought the Lord was supposed to help us out. Got us from Egypt. And he comes out right out and says, the Lord has abandoned us. Okay, now, Gideon, it might have been helpful for him to realize that God was letting the people lose because they had turned their backs on God. Okay, so sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes spiritual pain in our lives is a result of our own making. Again, we could always repent, hear the angels sing, and be in a safe place with God by turning to him again. So Gideon is struggling with that in his own soul. God fights to give Gideon confidence in God. God says, I'm sending you, and I'll be with you to win against the Midianites. So he's giving that Gideon the forward march charge and so forth. But Gideon says, hey, remember, Lord, my family is the weakest family around. And I'm the weakest one in my family. So there's two strikes against them. Okay, you might think, in your extended family, who is the weakest family in your extended family? Okay, yeah, them. Or how about a local church? Weakest family in the church. Let's see. Who could it be? The Lord knows. And who's the weakest person in that family? God says, aha! Hello, mighty warrior. I am with you. Okay. So, God will take what is despised by people, looked down upon by people, and thought of, oh, you're not so much important, and say, I'm going to do something very significant through that one. Okay. As Paul would say in 1 Corinthians, not many of us were wise or of noble background and so forth, but God would call us to be his children. He'll be our one true king. I often ask, I think I may have said this before, but it's good to repeat it. Show of hands, how many class presidents are here today? Any class presidents from the 12th grade? Don't be afraid to raise your hands. I'm the only one. No, I wasn't. So God chooses, the ones who recognize there's a need. He chooses Gideon. Gideon has no confidence in himself. That's a plus. But God begins to give Gideon confidence in God. Big difference. And God wins the confidence argument with Gideon. God directs Gideon to worship God. Proverbs 23 says, the Lord shall be your confidence. What a great place to put the energy and your focus and your soul. So God tells Gideon something pretty dramatic. He says, okay, first thing I want you to do is go and tear down all the false places of worship in Israel. So he was going to be trampling on people's toes. And not only just the people, but the toes of his dad. Because his dad was a big-time worshiper of idols. People back then worshiped the idol of fertility. They worshiped the idol of farming. They just kind of like, you know, abundance, we'll bow down to whatever it takes to get abundance. That sounds familiar. So God says, go demolish that. Put it in its proper place and take the wood from what you demolish and bring it as a offering to me and burn the thing and have a burnt offering to me. That would be something. And Gideon goes ahead and does it. He does it at night because he knows he's going to get whacked. So they find out who it is. He takes a few people with him. And, of course, the next day people get up and said, Who took our stuff that's very important to us? And we're gonna kill him. Whoever did that. And Gideon's dad has a change of heart. He says, not so fast. If these gods were really gods, they could stick up for themselves. You know, let the things crumble that are meant to crumble. Sometimes from the crumbling, God can bring the resurrection. Okay, when the seed, when the grain of corn or grain of wheat dies, then can be to eternal life. So if our own soul is the idol we have, to let that be surrendered to God. Okay. So Gideon's dad, he starts to repent. He says, wait a minute, if these gods were so tough, they could have stood up for themselves. but we're going to just let the Lord be God, as it were. And often Gideon's shown a principle there. If one family member turns to the Lord, often the whole family turns to the Lord. That's an encouragement for yourself. Where's Dad today? Dad's in church. Church? What's he doing in church? Maybe we should go with him. You know, he's worshiping God. Where's Mom? She's reading the Bible. Well, Mom's very kind to us. We should read too. Find out what it's like. What'd she find in that good book? Where's my brother Billy? Oh, Billy's down. He's working at the food bank. Oh, maybe I could chip in. And when one person turns to the Lord, has a big impact on the rest of the family. Gideon first, dad starts to follow. That's a good thing. Neighbor observes how you're doing. Your neighbor read the gospel this week. Not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but he read Jesus in your heart. She saw Jesus in your heart, a giant eagle, or Kohl's, big line at Kohl's with the Father's Day coming. Okay, but God, he begins to work through Gideon. He sends Gideon, not many more men, to rout the Midianites, and the victory comes from God. And the people are very excited. They say, a sword for the Lord and a sword for Gideon. And everybody's thankful for Gideon, for he's a jolly good fellow that nobody can deny. Okay, and they say, rule over us, you and your son. And Gideon keeps his perspective. He keeps his confidence in God. He says, no, I'm not going to rule over you. And my son's not going to rule over you. The Lord's going to rule over you. You have one true king, and that's God. Oh, you're a blessed Christian if you tell people, hey, you got one person to follow in life, and that's Christ. Follow him. Okay, watch out for the human leadership factor where you think, well, give us, you know, make sure Gideon has a sword. Gideon starts to buy into that at the end of the story here. But so Gideon's confidence is in God, the one true king. D.L. Moody said, lighthouses do not blow horns. You know, a lighthouse that keeps things safe. Lighthouses don't blow horns. Lighthouses just shine lights. They shine the light. So that's your call in life and my call. And Gideon is doing everything for the Lord. That's a good thing. And Gideon says, oh, maybe one thing for me. That could be trouble. One thing for me, get all the gold earrings from the Midianites. You know, our younger generation, not the first one for the guys to have the earring thing. Midians, you can tell how old I am. The Midians were into it big time. Gideon said, oh, I love those gold earrings. Put them all together, and I'd like to make a big gold vest David had a vest in the future. Can I have a vest too? And he wants a big gold vest. I don't think it was a sword-proof vest, but it was more a vest of show. Okay, a show vest. And the people and Gideon, they start to worship the vest. They give their heart over to what reminded them of what really God did, but maybe they took a little bit too much on their own shoulders. To the victors went the spoils, and the people got spoiled by the spoils. And here's some important truths to take about the Lord in Judges. Okay, remember these from some mentors here, Norman Geisler and Alistair Begg and Larry Crabb, some of these thoughts here. First of all, take no credit in life for the victories God gives. Take no credit. Okay, you might say, I need salvation from the Lord. Take no credit for your salvation. Jesus gave his life for you and rose from the dead. Just take him. Take no credit for your salvation. Give thanks to God. Take no credit how you are and your character and so forth. Take no credit. Salvation is from God. Take no credit for your sanctification. So I've been growing a lot as a Christian. Really, I have. For the last 10 years, you should see me. We saw you. Stop talking about yourself. Take no credit for your sanctification. Holiness is from God. He'll do that for your soul. Be thankful. Again, Gideon would have had his strength when he said, I'm not going to roll over my life even. The Lord will. Take no credit for your healing. God is the healer of anything that was broken and is being healed or was healed. Take no credit for your spiritual gifts. You serve the Lord with those. That's good. You honor him. You build up the body. Take no credit for your Bible knowledge. It's good you're a good studier. It's good you know what happens in the book of Micah. Take no credit for your Bible knowledge. God is your teacher. Be thankful. Take no credit for your family, your friends, or your job. They are gifts from God to honor him, to shine his light. And what do you have that you did not receive? Lesson from Gideon, Jesus big in Gideon's life, and he was safe. When Gideon started to want for himself, it was no good. Be a wise person like Gideon. The Lord rules over us, and we do things for the honor of the Lord and to enjoy God forever. And a lesson for us, until we as God's people realize our complete inadequacy, which Gideon knew from the start, and God brought some victories, we will not put our 100% confidence in God. We'll have half confidence in God, half confidence in ourselves. The second part is misplaced confidence. Okay, do not trust in a mortal man, the Bible says. Trust in the Lord. And again, remember the illustration. We all struggle, I think, with just taking on a daily tasks where God sends us. If we have confidence in God, it'll give us humility and worship and strength. A person who's really strong really doesn't have a, they don't think about themselves a lot. They're just strong. Even Samson learned that lesson. God's Spirit came on him. But confidence in self would produce boasting and failure and ultimately self-condemnation. Because when you boast in yourself, you run out of things to boast about rather quickly. But let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And moving from Judges, where God works through the champion people, it's really the champion hero, God in the midst. In the book of Ruth, one major theme. A family redeemer would help Ruth. Ruth was up the creek in many ways. She was lonely. She was a widow. She had nobody in her life to help her out. She was on her way to poverty. She was going to experience racism because she was a Moabite. She was like what are you doing with the Israelites? You don't even belong here. But Ruth said, I'm holding on to Naomi. And hey, Naomi, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And God let her be the great-grandmother of King David. Good lesson from the book of Ruth. Jesus is the one who invites us into his family and buys us to himself, just like Boaz was to Ruth. It's a romantic story. It's a good story. But it's mostly about the Lord helping this dear gal, Gentile gal. And again, you get that. You go, oh, Gentile people, God, you know, people outside the family of faith, God's really, man, he's working overtime to get them right in the middle of things. That's your call and my call as a Christian. Good lesson from the book of Ruth. No matter how rough the world gets around us, it was very rough for Ruth. Or how sinful our soul is, maybe Ruth was not, but she did have a pagan background. God can bring salvation to you. And your life will remind others of the goodness and grace and mercy of God. They say, well, how about the loved ones that you recently remember? Oh, about them the most, I remember the goodness and grace and mercy of God. We remember Ruth, remember Gideon. Not so many horns about them, but a lot of praises to God. And the real dramatic word from Ruth, I think, to take for ourselves, put into application, is when she recognized her own bankruptcy, she said, okay, dear believer Naomi, who wasn't believing very strongly, dear Naomi, believer, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Good lesson for us, hard to walk in. When we're at peace with God, we're at peace with God's people. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. If I'm not at peace with God's people, I'm really not at peace with God. I'm restless and toss and turn, you know. I'm arguing with my wife again. Yeah, my son, I haven't had a good conversation in 3 days. But wait a minute. God's people will be my people. And God will be our God, us together. So could you let the Lord work that in your own soul? Ruth was thrilled to be a part of the family of God. I mean, she was thrilled. And she got blessed more than any of us could have guessed. Well, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for helping your people out in the terrible times of the book of Judges and Ruth. They fell down a lot, but you were teaching them about repentance, teaching about their own needs, and you teach us about our problem of sin, our chance to repent, the praises we can know of you, and say, no, wait a minute, well, I'm not going to rule over even my own life. The Lord will rule over me. Might each of us say that as we go today. It's pretty inspiring to think you'll have a monopoly on our life, and we don't have to live in the anarchy of figuring things out ourselves, but that we can have one true King, you, dear Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.